You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere. This is your WMDX Daily News Roundup for Mad Radio 92.7 FM and 1580 AM in Madison.
For 92.7 WMDX News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Madison officials are working to add more protection to the city's trees. We've got more than 100,000 trees along our streets, and City Forester Ian Brown says they're vital to city infrastructure.
10% of the trees by stem count are 15 inches or greater. Those same trees provide 53% of the leaf area, which is where we get the vast majority of our benefits. When we talk about either stormwater interception or shade, air pollution mitigation, that's all coming from canopy area. So that's where we really want to focus on trying to protect the large trees that we currently have.
Right now, construction companies can basically just pay a fine if they end up cutting down a tree. Under this proposal, city officials could reject proposals that don't adhere to tree protection plans, causing development delays. The proposal would also require construction crews work farther away from larger trees, and it would create a tree replacement fund. So every time a tree is cut down for development, money will go straight to this account to plant more in the future.
Damage to trees can take decades, if ever, to recover. So, you know, you think about, maybe a historic building, too. You know, if something were to happen and we were to lose a wall off the side of a historic building, you can't just put it back. That thing has changed forever if it ever does recover. If it were structurally unsound, it may have to be removed completely. And that's the same type of thing that can happen to these trees.
The city council will further review the proposal next month. If implemented, these changes would take effect January 1st. Meanwhile, MG&E is working on a new solar facility which will help power Dane County. The project will be near the Nine Springs Wastewater Treatment Plant. Officials from MG&E say once it's finished, it'll power 1,000 homes and offset almost 10 tons of carbon every year. The new solar plant should be operational by 2027. You can find just about anything on the internet, but increasingly you can't always believe what you see. AI allows people to create whatever they want and even include real people without their consent, and a Madison startup is working to fight it. Here's Parker Olson.
Smarth Shah and Tansik Jawahar are undergrads at UW-Madison. They founded Red 11 Labs, a service that uses artificial intelligence to combat digital disinformation. The company's goal is to identify and combat deepfakes, those highly convincing photos or recordings that depict things that aren't real or situations that didn't happen.
There's a lot of money on the side of AI in creating things and developing things in general, but nothing is really there in a security side as such. Nobody's out there to protect yourself, and that's what we see a gap in this market for. Nobody's there to like say, hey, this is illegal. Hey, this is a defamatory. So that's what we're doing.
Red 11 Labs helps prove that those deepfakes online aren't real, and they help their clients get it taken offline. They make an evidence bundle of all the proof that something isn't real and submit it to social media platforms for removal. The bundle points to proof like metadata or visual clues. They say it's cheaper and more efficient than doing it through lawyers. That unauthorized content is often used in cyberbullying or sextortion cases.
Actually, one of our competitions last month in Chicago, when we were pitching this, a person came up to us and told, you know, I would love to see this 5 years ago because I just had a friend in high school who took his own life because of some troll releasing such pictures on him.
Shah and Jawahar are competing in an event hosted by the Greater Madison Chamber of Commerce this week. It's like Shark Tank and features local entrepreneurs. If Red 11 Labs wins, Shah and Jawahar will get a trip to San Francisco, where they'll have an opportunity to pitch their idea to more investors. For Civic Media News, I'm Parker Olson.
The child care crisis impacts families all over Wisconsin. Right now, on average, it costs more to send an infant to daycare for a year than it does to pay for freshman year tuition at UW-Madison. Democrats say a package of bills in the U.S. Senate would help lower costs for working families. Jimmy Kuska reports.
Senator Tammy Baldwin is part of a group of legislators that have introduced the Child Care for Working Families Act, which is part of a package of bills Baldwin says will lower costs for Wisconsin families.
I've introduced a package of bills that will address the challenges that I hear about in every community every day, from the high cost of housing, child care, and household goods.
The child care bill would cover a wide range of issues currently facing child care providers in Wisconsin and across the country.
Our bill ensures that no working family will pay more than 7% of their income on child care. This legislation will also provide grants to help communities in need to open new child care centers. We'll also make sure that child care workers are paid a living wage and achieve parity with elementary school teachers who have similar credentials and experience. Lastly, our bill would dramatically increase access to quality pre-K.
Baldwin said that an investment in childcare will also have other benefits.
When parents cannot find affordable care, they cannot join the workforce or go back to school.
Two other bills, the Price Gouging Prevention Act and First-Time Homebuyer Tax Credit Act, are part of the package. Meanwhile, Governor Tony Evers has launched the Child Care Bridge Payment Program, which provides $110 million in monthly direct payments to Wisconsin child care providers. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
And I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. You're listening to 92.7 WMDX News.
It's the Brewers and the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers opening a five-game series today in Chicago against the Cubs. Beginning with a doubleheader, the Brewers losing to the Reds yesterday 3-2 in extra innings, ending their 14-game winning streak. Jose Quintana pitched into the seventh inning before giving up a run. Manager Pat Murphy.
He was great. Tobias was great. You know, we put Grant Anderson in a spot that he hasn't been in a lot. We were depleted, totally depleted, and we needed Q to do what he did, and hindsight's 20/20.
NFL, the Packers beat the Colts Saturday 23-19, but they had 11 penalties just in the first half, five of them by rookie tackle Anthony Belton.
There are some things that we got to clean up from a technique standpoint to get him to play to the level I know he's capable of playing. I think he's a really talented guy, and we got to refine some of the mechanics.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. If you're of the mindset that there aren't enough Christmas movies, you'll be happy to know there's another headed our way. Variety reports that Tabitha Brown and Lil Rel Howery are teaming up to executive produce and star in Unexpected Christmas. The film will be a family-friendly comedy drama. The story follows a family that gets together around the holidays for a reunion, which quickly turns chaotic. Never heard that one before. Unexpected Christmas hits theaters November 7th. Taylor Sheridan's brand continues to grow and is expanding further in his home state of Texas. The Yellowstone creator is teaming up with Paramount Plus, the platform where he has many of his episodic shows parked, to build a humongous soundstage. According to The Hollywood Reporter, Sheridan and Paramount will build a 450,000-foot campus and six soundstages that can house up to four major productions simultaneously. Some of Sheridan's shows include Lioness, Landman, and Tulsa King. The Conjuring Last Rites, according to prognosticators, is tracking off the charts when it comes to box office predictions. The film does not open until September 5th, but experts are expecting massive returns when it comes to a horror film opening in September, with estimates ranging from $40 to $45 million at the gate. Bear in mind, this is before any reviews are in, but given the film is part of a successful franchise, the powers that be seem confident in their estimates. Let's stick with horror. Speaking of massive returns at the box office, Zach Cregger's Weapons is doing just that. The film has reached $100 million worldwide in just 1 week in theaters. It has surpassed Sinners, which pulled in $77 million in a week's time back in the spring. Weapons is crushing it globally due to approval from audience and critics. If you see it soon, you'll have time to recover before seeing The Conjuring Last Rites. Fans of the show do not seem happy with how Carrie Bradshaw's storyline ended. And just like that is the follow-up to Sex and the City and finished its third and last season last Thursday night. Variety called the finale a bizarre ending to a bizarre show. I'm not going to risk spoilers here, so check out the final episode and send me your opinions on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Would love to know what you think. Some franchises get tired and others keep turning out content that is probably worth checking out. Such is the case, in my opinion, of Alien Earth, the latest show from the Alien brand, which started back in 1979 with the feature film starring Sigourney Weaver. In this new iteration, they bring the alien to Earth after a crash landing. Noah Hawley is the creative force behind the show and is known for turning the Fargo movie into a successful TV show. He appears to be crushing it so far, as Alien Earth is pulling a 96% on Rotten Tomatoes. The show's first two episodes dropped last Thursday night on Hulu. An episode a week will drop moving forward. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Scattered showers and thunderstorms are possible today with a high in the mid-80s this afternoon. Tonight, a few more lingering showers and thunderstorms with temperatures dropping to around 70. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high in the low 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 69.
That's your WMDX Daily News Roundup from Civic Media. Subscribe to this podcast on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you find your podcasts. Find more news at mad.radio. The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.